This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Jamie Percival. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, feeling good today. Feeling very, very good.
Yeah, we've just finished the WC Level 2 beer course.
We did. Yeah, barrel-aged quadrupels, low alcohol ABV session pails, even a bit of gluten-free. And then what was the last one? Was it a fruit lambic made with cherries and black pepper?
Yeah.
I think that was a favourite around the table, to be honest.
It was. To be honest, that was the sort of beer I was looking for. We'll talk about that later on.
Absolutely.
But what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about beer courses with WSD. I know this is a wine show, but we've started running these beer courses and Jamie's our new head tutor for that. And we're going to be talking a bit about the beer course. The funny thing is, I think of the clients we've had so far running the course, we only had small groups because we didn't want big groups for the first couple. Three quarters of them are actually wine people, strangely enough, which surprised me.
It was actually really good and refreshing because I got to ask questions. You know, people who have done WSET wine training saw some familiarities, some really good similarities in terms of how they're able to adapt how they've learned about wine into learning about beer. But of course, the content's completely different. And I think that's the unique and fascinating aspect. If you've ever looked at beer and wondered, how is this product made? WSET has created courses that are very good at focusing in on the ingredients and how those ingredients are going to affect the flavor and characters of the beer. Personally, I really enjoyed learning the course and then performing it, shall we say. And after 4 weeks, it has been very eye-opening to watch how people from the wine world interpret information about beer under the same sphere as WSET.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair comment as well. Before we get into the course in a lot of detail and what's going on and all that type of thing, let's find out a bit about yourself. You've been in the beer trade for almost as long as I've been in the wine trade.
Yeah, so we're looking at 21 years for me, and that started as that really enthusiastic, happy-going barman with blonde ponytailed hair, really just kicking it back. I remember my interview, actually, they asked me, what's your favorite beer? And my answer was, isn't the only beer Foster's?
Ah.
But yeah, I know you actually love a Foster's as well.
No, not Foster's, mate.
No, just Carlsberg.
I don't care, as long as it's a simple lager.
It's a simple lager, or international pale lager, as the course will teach us. So yeah, back in those days, you had to do a full interview process for the pub I went to. And what I didn't realize is this pub had 21 cask ale lines, 82 keg lines for beer, and over 200 bottle products from around the world. So quickly, Foster's was moved out of my sort of like go-to beer list. And me as a young, enthusiastic and very impressionable young man, I really got drawn into this world and became what in those days would have been a full-time cellarman. So I wasn't just looking after the cask beers, looking after keg beers and everything else in between. And that initial thirst for knowledge really took me from being a bit of an enthusiast and a guy who loved trying to sell the product and talk about it with people into somebody that wanted to learn how to make it. Oh, cool. Let's be a hobbyist brewer at home. And I got my own kit. I did it with my friends. Remember, we made this absolutely terrible wheat beer with scorched orange peel. Now, if you can imagine, that had a very nasty aftertaste.
Bitter.
And yeah, that was really, really bitter. Not something you actually want in a wheat beer. But it was a good experiment. And as the years went on, it wasn't that hospitality outgrew me or I grew out of hospitality, but I had an opportunity to go and work for breweries. And when I got to the brewery level, I got asked if I wanted to train to become a beer sommelier. A lovely accreditation scheme that I remember I passed and felt completely honored to be suddenly a sommelier. But what do I do with it? I was still working for breweries and I have ended up going off to become a consultant and setting up my own beer business. And I always said I wanted to go back into education and become a tutor. And so here I am 21 years later, finally fulfilling that promise of the enthusiast becoming the tutor and hoping that I can meet more enthusiasts along the way who may want to either further their education or just their enjoyment of beer.
One of the things that I was impressed with is you've got good deep knowledge, because we've done two courses with you now. We did the level one and then Jane and I both did the level two. Jane and I have got to sit the exam on Tuesday.
Good luck, by the way.
Yeah. But it's clear you've got deep knowledge, but you've kept pretty close to the script. And that's one of the big problems with people who've got deep knowledge, is making sure you don't over-deliver on content and confuse people. And I thought, you know, WST run a good course. You know, they lay things out very well. And I think you implemented it very well, which I was quite pleased with, which is quite cool. Right, let's talk about the courses in a bit more detail.
Sure.
You've got level one and level two. Maybe WST do a level three at some point, but who knows? Do you know if they're working on level three or...
There's nothing official that I know, nothing at the moment.
Yeah, that's fair enough too. But let's talk about who the level one beer course is and who the level two beer course is best suited for.
Okay. So the easy way to look at level one and level two, if you are an enthusiast, a beer drinker, consumer at home, who is aware of a few styles but wants to learn more, this is definitely a course for you. If you are an enthusiastic home brewer, who really enjoys making beers for themselves, but would like to understand a little bit more about style specifications and how certain ingredients can really truly affect the finished product. If you are a professional in the industry who is looking to better understand how that premium craft beer market and the premium lager market that exists across the whole of the UK, how you can better understand and deliver that to your customers, these are all things that our level one and level two courses bring. What's the difference though? Level one covers a really good level of basics for all round beer understanding. And it has at least 9 to 10 beers that we taste throughout. So you get a well-rounded sampling of what beer styles there are and how those ingredients are influencing them. So that is a roundabout way of saying level one suits everybody. And it's got a good basic knowledge.
Mm. Even though I know very little compared to Jamie in terms of beer, I know beer reasonably well from a technical point of view, how it's made, the key ingredients, how they change the beer style. I already knew all that before we did level one course. What I liked was, I knew about ales and lagers and the difference there, but fitting the structure, because that's one of the things WST is good at, is giving you an overarching structure that then things just fit into those pigeonholes. Or, you know, and beer's not quite as pigeonholy as wine. Let's face it, they're a bit maverick out there. But you've got the structure and you go, well, this is this style because of this, this, and this means this. And these are, because it's German, then this type of hops is what you expect. So if you're given another beer that you've never seen before, pretty soon you could taste it and have a rough idea about a lot of what was going on in the beer. And I thought, even at level one, you got a lot of that coming through.
No, absolutely. It really does. It peels back several layers. And that's part of the really enjoyable side. Just to give you an example, you know, first of all, there are three beer types. And we look at ales, lagers, and the mixed fermentations. And then once you move on from there, you're looking at where do the aromas come from in the beers that we're sampling. According to WSET's systematic approach to tasting, we're going to look at beers that are malt-derived in terms of their aroma, hop-derived in terms of the aroma, yeast-derived, or sour. So by separating the beers out into those four different categories, it's a lot easier not only to appreciate what the aromas are, using a very good beer lexicon, I might add as well, but secondly, also start to understand how those aromas have been created. And I think that's part of where the mystery around beer has gone for quite a few years for many, many people. They enjoy drinking the product. They might enjoy enjoying it having with a meal. Maybe it's more of a sports day type drink. But to actually understand how beer is made, how that ingredient influences it, that is part of the fun and fundamentals that come with a good level one course. And I'll tell you the hard part for me, and I think everybody said this to me in my training, and I think even you said it to me before we started. Level one is about me not telling you everything I know about beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the truth is, if I went too deep dive and started pulling out so many anecdotes and stories that basically you wouldn't know what you're being examined on, it would be impossible for us to A, get through the day on time, and B, for you to be able to pass the exam knowing that everything had happened. So level one for me was a little bit about restraint on my own behalf whilst bringing that information and that content to life as much as possible. And that's why if you do enjoy tasting beers and you want to taste them on the course, being involved, having an interactive tasting experience, whether you're doing that remotely, which we have had some remote people, remote connections come in on the last two courses, or in the classroom, it works just as well because I'm going to draw you into the classroom and ask you to help us understand where the aromas are coming from, how the appearance is being affected by the malt, for example, or perhaps by the hops or the yeast. But these are all details that we would actually discuss in the classroom. What was your favorite out of, if we were saying malt-driven, hop-driven or yeast-driven or sour, what was your favorite out of those four?
Categories?
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm not a big malt-driven guy.
Cool.
I don't mind. Towards the end, on the last session, I was getting things like digestive biscuits and I could tell water cracker and things like that. But I spent a lot of the two courses struggling with the malt-driven differences. I found it a little bit too subtle for me. Yeah, sure. Hops were nice and easy. Probably my favorite beer was the Creek, and that was really nice. From a wine guy, I really liked it because one of the things I often think beer lacks is acidity. I like freshness, and I thought beer lacked that freshness. And I remember because I knew I was going to do these courses on New Year's Eve, I bought a load of these mixed fermentation beers and I was drinking them on New Year's Eve and I was going, do you want to try that? And no one liked them. They were disgusting. They were like, you know, they were real proper, what was that, the Duchess one and things like that. And the Flanders.
Duchess de Bourgogne, Flanders Red. Yeah,
and the beautiful. Flanders Red and things like that. And they were just too much. They were too much. But I knew I wanted something like that. And I thought that Creek was, it's a Belgian fruit, cherry fruit beer, but you could taste the acidity, but it was at a nice level for me and it had lots of fruit to it and quite nice. That, and I like hops. Probably more of a hazy IPA type of guy, where the bitterness is there, but it's not overwhelming. Sometimes some of these American IPAs can be a little bit.
Well, that's actually one thing that was quite a key detail to bring out from the course. Like when we were learning about American pale ales and learning about American IPAs, we learned that they had pronounced hop aromas and they had a relatively pronounced hop bitterness.
Yeah.
And that word hoppy is thrown around a lot, but it's too ambiguous a term. So when we're learning about hop-driven beers, we were learning whether it had hop aroma or hop bitterness. Now, both those styles we just mentioned, they have both aroma and bitterness, but the one you just talked about, that's pronounced hop aroma with a low-level bitterness. That's the hazy IPA. Incredibly popular in today's market, probably for the exact same reason that you said. It has the aroma without actually having to give this, should we say, overwhelming bitterness? Sometimes it can be quite overwhelming.
And that was one thing from wine I struggle with, because with wine, you don't get astringency. But in beer, the bitterness is mainly an astringent type of bitterness. Whereas wine, when we talk about bitterness, we're talking about tannin structure. And you can get wines with astringency, but usually they're not that good. A mindset shift from tannins to astringency, it's weird, but it took me a wee while to get my head around that. What was your favorite beer?
Oh, God. Well, look, you know, with me, when it comes to beers, I usually have a favorite beer of the month kind of thing because I have to try so many all the time. There is a favorite beer of mine on the course. It's Schneiderweiss Original Tap 7, which is a Hefeweizen from over in Germany, heavily influenced by the yeast used, which produces lovely ripe banana and clove aromas. It can also be served incredibly chilled. The wheat with the excess protein in there gives a nice cloudy haze to the finish of the beer. I've also liked the fact that it's sedimented, so when you actually pour it straight from the bottle, it goes from being slightly hazy to incredibly hazy. And that addition of the wheat gives a smooth, creamy texture. And I remember when I tried beers as a younger man, I'm talking 18, 19, I'm 40 now. Those beers that I was trying always had a trace of bitterness to them, which is very typical in the lager market, very typical in the pale market. They're always going to have a low or medium level of bitterness. And this wheat beer had almost no bitterness at all and lots of aroma. And I just thought, this is creamy. This is a little bit sweet. This has this amazing aroma of banana, which I did not believe belonged in a beer whatsoever. And if you've never seen one, the Weissen glass, which it's typically served in, is something of a beauty. It's very tall. I mean, it feels like you're holding the World Cup when you're picking it up, to be honest with you. But it is a very tall, beautiful glass that shows off that straw amber color with a thick, foamy head, which is another thing that wheat brings to the beer. If you ever see wheat on the back of any labeling terms, by the way, listeners, that means you should hopefully get a slightly fuller, smoother, creamier body and a lovely head retention. Not always, but that's sometimes what wheat is used for.
I want to go back to just trade actually a little bit because we talked that it's quite good for beer enthusiasts. Yeah, well, let's explore that a little bit more because if you know a little bit about beer, a level one course is probably pretty good because it puts everything into structure, I think, which is quite nice. But we had people jumping in at level two. We had some people do it at level one as well. And a couple of us, three of us, did level one and level two as well. For a consumer, if you're a hardcore member of Canberra and, you know, all that type of thing, you're probably a level two type. You'd probably jump in at level two. Whereas if you're like me and you're just a bear, but you don't really get too bothered with it, which is my classic position, probably a level one course would be quite a nice starting point.
You know, this is where I never try to put too much definition on what the enthusiast sounds like or looks like. You know, there's
some real hardcore enthusiasts out there.
I am one of them. No, I mean, look, I would say you've got somebody that wants to really enjoy the creme de la creme of the fine craft beer indie market that's available in the UK and around the world or from Belgium and Germany, but also likes a six pack of whatever their favorite lager is on the weekend. That is, to me, is somebody who is a part-time enthusiast, but not in a bad way, in the way that they like all types of premium beers. So you can have hardcore craft fanatics who will never drink anything unless it's made by an indie brewer. The beer probably costs upwards of £3.50 for every can or bottle they ever purchase, and they don't mind about that. The enthusiasts for me come at multiple different levels. Look at me, I'm the hobbyist brewer enthusiast who just wanted to try everything and ended up wanting to become a full-time sommelier and consultant. But then you've got the guy who just wants to try better beers, has a real keen sense of hop-driven beers that are either very bitter or very aromatic. I'd love to know more about that. How does that happen? How do the hops play such an important role in making these beers? Now, for that kind of individual, level one is a good touching base, but you can just as easily go in at level two. Because level two just has more detail. Mm-hmm. It covers the basics, but it opens a few more doors for you. Now, I will admit, the exam for level two is slightly bigger. And some people might say that the exam questions might have a little bit more content or could have more expansive content put into them, so it could be trickier. But I have done the exams myself, and I can absolutely promise you the exams look almost identical, except for the fact that there's extra content in the level two. Then you've got the person, as I said at the beginning, who just likes getting a six-pack of their favorite lager and touches the occasional pale ale or IPA, or maybe loves to drink a porter, will only drink real ale from the best real ale pubs around the corner. Those that are on the periphery but don't necessarily think of themselves as huge long-term enthusiasts of beer. For them, you will get exposed to a world of beer and unlock this amazing, huge world that you could effectively start taking advantage of. And what I mean by that is you'll easily be able to decipher the products that you're completely falling in love with and the products that you actually want to start letting more into your world. And for different reasons as well. One of the things that we do when we're setting up for a tasting is talk about the ambience of the room and the level of noise. And you and I even spoke about it. You know, you don't drink a Belgian Dubbel coming in at 7.5% in a loud, noisy environment with head-banging, clashing music and heavy bass drums, etc. You would effectively always do that in a quieter environment where you could actually slowly sip on it and enjoy it. But if you've never been exposed to a Dubbel because it's not in your current environment, that's what this course can actually do. It shows you the world of what Belgian beers have been doing for centuries. It shows you how international pale lagers have taken over the world and why. We can actually point out the subtle nuances that come into how those malt-driven beer styles are so easy to drink and what it is that those aromas are that you're enjoying on a daily basis. And how the bitterness is created or not created on the finish of those beers. I mean, did you know, for example, one of the key ingredients towards a light lager, an international pale lager, was rice and maize? Mm. We discussed that in the course, didn't we?
Mm, mm.
Creates that lighter body.
What I like is I can look at a beer, I can just look at the colour now, and just looking at the colour, I'm going, well, I'm expecting this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And I know to go looking for it.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes, first sniff, you go, oh, no, there's a lot of hops in there, or, oh, no, it's got some vinegary notes, or whatever the heck it is. But you're very quickly going down certain paths, and you're knowing what to look for. And then when you see it, it's like, oh, got it, I can understand it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, I do judging for great taste. I do judging for the International World Beer Cup, European Beer Challenge. There's lots of them, actually. I'm a judge for about 10 different institutions if I want to do it every year. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is the first thing that I observe with every beer is the appearance, because it tells you a lot about what the ingredients are that's been used. And from that, you'll be able to decipher back down, okay, this beer is potentially going to be one of this 10 beer styles that I think it might be. Right, let's take the first sniff. Right, is that a yeast-driven aroma, a malt-driven aroma, or a hop aroma? I know which one that is. That's a hop aroma. So you know you're then looking at potentially 5 different beer styles. Then you take a further look and you start tasting the... you do a palate test and you would start noticing a difference in the bitterness. And that level of bitterness or change in the body, for example, that would tell you, again, what that beer style is going to be right to the finish. And then you give a quality assessment, which tells you whether the beer has any absence of faults, good balance, complexity, definition, and then, of course, expressiveness, which is the final assessment. Can you identify that beer? Can you say what the story of that beer is and where it came from?
Well, one of the things, if you think about wine, is some wine people, and I like doing this as well, I love doing blind tastings.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, and you just sit there and you work it out. And I've had some, I do it for my team at Christmas time usually. We'll do some blind tasting. It's good fun usually. I think you even participated this
year. I did it this year. It was good. It was good guessing. I came third, which shouldn't have happened.
Oh, my God, really? I forgot about that. Don't tell anybody that. The beer guy bet some of the wine people. That's a shocker. Okay, but I can see how you can do that with beer now as well, and going through a process. You know, I have a very good process for blind tasting, and now I've got a process for beer tasting as well, which is quite good. I think what we'll do, Jamie, is next week, I want to talk a wee bit about the structure of the course and things like that, but just let the listeners know, we've got dates for Tuesdays and Saturdays, Tuesdays or Saturdays, or Sundays sometimes, online. So if you're looking at doing a level one or a level two beer course, do think about us. And even if you're overseas in America, we've now got our full suite of flashcards, chapter questions, and mock exams as well available for people to purchase. So I know we've had a few people from the States already buying some of our materials. So we'll catch up next week, Jamie. All right.
Thanks very much, Chris.